Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
But how's it called? Billis Major at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go! That's class!
There is no such thing as...
It's not me. It's someone else. Actually, no. It's me. I'm a robot. That's going and it's turning to another person. Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. What the hell? You got a time machine? What the hell? Let's kill Hitler. Let's kill Hitler.
And then the next scene is someone being like, all right, so how are we going to do that? And then they're like, well, we won't.
There's many a thing to say about what went wrong, I guess. No. Broadcast on 27th of August, 2011. August time. August. I already knew him. Right by Richard Sr. It's funny his name is Senior because it's his TV debut. He did a lot of, if not all, the Series 5 box set home release shorts, you know, as well as that charity short, Time and Space, where those two Amys. He kind of goes on to like a lot of TV stuff, and he did like second unit work on Daily Doctor as well, I think. And then written by Stephen.
Stephen Moffat wrote this? I could not have guessed.
He wrote this in one day because he said that this was his first and only draft because he was working on Sherlock and The Adventures of Tintin at the same time. So, you know,
I like to think that he was taking the Sherlock scripts and then he accidentally like stumbled into whoever was taking the Doctor Who scripts. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you got this Sherlock scene in my Doctor Who script.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that because that
scene, let's just keep it there.
That scene is it doesn't really work. Anyway, in a sentence. Doctor Who meets up back up with Amy and Rory after they and the childhood friend Melz lure him home from his search for their daughter. And then Melz is like, why don't we go back in time and kill Hitler because I have a gun? And they go back in time and she gets shot, which has been in Hitler's office, which has been invaded by a shape-shifting criminal justice robot. And then Melz turns into River because Melz is actually Melody. And then River kisses Doctor Who with poison, and then he's going to die, and Chico kind of goes off, and he finds out that the Silence are a religious order of trying to kill him to stop the first question being asked or whatever. Anyway, River gives up regenerations to save him, and then decides to become an archaeologist after some time in the hospital.
Congratulations, he answered every question I ever had about River Song. No interest this remaining in the River Song story.
This is the thing for me with this one. I really don't think the ending of this one works at all because it's quite clearly them trying to be like, we gotta go and set up this entire character now, so we gotta like just throw in every single bit of like, you know, every bit of information you can regardless of setting up her early character plot we had to throw in the next like 3 minutes, and it just feels like really kind of it just, her entire character here just feels really weird. For lack of a better term, it doesn't feel like it comes together at all. With regards to her character. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
go ahead. I mean, listen, we could honestly record three different podcasts about the three different episodes contained in this episode,
mm-hmm.
and then just awkwardly cut between them, and it would be the akin to watching this episode.
Yeah.
Like, there's three different stories here. There's the really good idea of what if the companions of the Doctor yapped too long about him to someone, and that someone was like, yeah, let's go get that time machine. Great idea. I think the first 10 minutes have such a energy that completely goes away the instant Alex Kingston jumps out of that building. Like, just, you could hear the pacing of the entire episode go, just like the instant she hits the floor, the entire episode slows to a crawl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one fun idea. Then there's the other idea of, let's just do the origin story of River Song. Let's just get all that shit out of the way. And I think it's interesting that we're watching this out of order because we already recorded our Wedding of River Song episode. And I feel like not having seen Let's Kill Hitler helped having our rewatch of Wedding of River Song, because now we don't have the memory of like literally every single thing. It's the solo disease of like every single iconic thing about her happened in the same day. You know, spoilers, sweetie, her name, her style, everything about her happened the exact same day. Yeah, the journal, the archaeology. Why is it everything? Why she can't write generator anymore? Where was she? What was the kid? Every single thing happened today. And it's like, that's fine if that's the only goal of the episode. But like I said, this is episode 2 of 3 in this one. And the third episode is a Tessalecta, which completely feels like an entirely different idea that they were like, we need to have something
to
pad out the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the Tessalecta, which is like a cool idea and a cool visual, but like after the TARDIS hits them, they do like nothing in the story. Their only goal is to be antagonists in like the most annoying way, which is, why does your ship have I get why, because antibodies, haha, funny, but why does your ship have a security system so trigger happy and so instantly, like, it's one of those things where it's like, just feels like they're manufacturing this particular moment because we need them to run away from something at the 35 minute mark.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Yeah.
My two things with the Tessalecta: one, it's the most boring presentation of a cool idea I've seen in a while. It's such a boring, like, they're just Star Trek people on like a bridge that walk around. There's nothing in there. The other thing is, so like the whole thing is like we're gonna go through time and basically take out Walker Reynolds and, you know, give them justice.
And you go to 1938? Like that's the part that I'm like, if you're a time traveling justice guy and you're like, let's go get Hitler, your first thing is, why are we not in the bunker where he famously shot himself? Mm-hmm. Like, why are we outdoors? Oh, because it's not 1945, you fucking morons? Like, what the hell?
Why is there a thing of like, we'll shrink these guys down, bring them in, and then kill them in our thing? What is like, if you can like shake?
No, he doesn't kill them in the thing. They take them back, and then they basically torture them. Is the idea, right?
I don't, whatever way it is, it's just like the main problem that we're like coming back to is that this is a single draft that had no time to be kind of fleshed out and no time to be kind of, you know, properly kind of developed. And for what it is, I think it's impressive that there's at least, you know, the shape of something. But every single thing is like, you really need like another week or 2 weeks or something just to like sit down and be like, okay, what's this thing?
What about this actually interests you? Yeah, like, mm-hmm. like, and it does lean into the Hitler of it all, which is, it does not feel like there's a reason for them to, how do I put this? I don't want to be like, ooh, my stars and guards. I'm not offended. This is the most, like, toothless portrayal. Like, it's so, after Hitler goes into the cupboard, they might as well be anywhere else. It is kind of fucked up that there was a moment where, like, River was having this whole speech, and I was like, is no one, like, talking about the fact she's wearing Nazi regalia right now? Like, take off that shirt. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, it just becomes background setting to the point where I'm like, it's really good. It's such a good code open to be like, let's go Hitler. And then the episode is let's go Hitler. And then to be like, and then the episode is not about Hitler. And I'm like, okay, then, like, don't use Hitler. Like, if you're going to finally break the Hitler barrier, if you're going to finally be like, hey, guys, we're finally doing it, Doctor Who is going to address the big guy, the big question that everyone always asks, why don't you go and stop Hitler? And we're not even going to, like, and it's a joke. It's like, fuck, it's a fucking, it's like a joke. Ha ha ha. Which is, like, such a, it's so Obama core. This episode is the most Obama core episode ever. Because, like, there's that line that River says, like, I was on my way to this gay bar mitzvah. And in that line, she drops the slur. And it's the most, like, we've defeated racism. And it's like, no, you haven't. You're all a bunch of white people just pretending like, oh, we can do this now. It's, nobody cares. It's like, come on, guys.
My thing was, like, it's peak 2011 to me. This is the most, like, 2011 they've ever been. There's so much, like in this, it's just, it could only exist in that, like, kind of, like, you know, late first era Obama kind of stuff. Such as the real Dear Evan Hansen thing of young Arthur Darvill's Rory, where he looks like
Ben from
Dear Evan Hansen. He looks like the oldest.
When it showed them wearing, like, their high school uniforms, I was like, no, please, 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 please. And then it was, like, for just one scene, like, oh, thank God.
The other thing within that is, I'm going to be honest with you. If your childhood friend tells you, I'm not going to your wedding because I just don't do weddings, I'd be like, fuck you. I'm not talking to you. Like, what the fuck is
here?
That's
the moment where you're like, okay, but, like, why do you not do weddings? Because this is my wedding and you're my friend.
The other thing as well is that, like, when they, like, when they get him at the cold open, when, you know, they're like, did you find Melody? If the doctor was like, no, but I did hear this crazy thing in America where this, like, this pedophile didn't die, and then, you know, there was a big crack in the middle of the earth that kind of sucked.
Yeah, I forgot
blood.
This is supposed to be happening right now, right?
And I couldn't sort of that, sorry for that reason. But yeah, there's, like, even beyond, like, the script, there's so much of this stuff where it's like, you guys, it's like, we're kind of running by the seat of your pants. One of them is the amount of PNGs the TARDIS has to show him when he's on the floor.
Dude, I was like, that is the PNGs killed me, man. We couldn't even, like, do we have, like, some, I mean, yeah, they probably didn't, like, have, like, a, just do, like, a, I don't know, just something not a PNG. It is the most, like, and it's so weird that that the TARDIS was like, I honestly thought they were going to show Sarah Jane. Like, I thought that was going to be it. But then they have, like, little Amy was good. But at the same time, I was like, it's another one of those things where I'm like, I'm going to give Moffat I'm going to be nice. It's very much first draft for you, where he's like, he's on the floor, is like, I'm dying. And then Amy, the TARDIS interface says, fish fingers and custard. This makes him happy for some reason. This was exactly what he wanted. So what he wanted was to make the TARDIS interface act like a human. It's such a, like, a, huh? Like, what are we doing? Like, what are you trying to actually accomplish here? That probably would have been solved in a second or a third or a fourth draft.
I'll tell you what I thought was going to happen at the time when this aired, because this is how I learned that anyone could change, like, an IMDb listing, because right before this came out, someone changed it to say that David Tennant was going to be in the episode, and I believed them. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to show Tennant's going to have recorded something to be like, you know, I'm the interface, blah, blah, blah. And then it turned out he wasn't in, and I was like, oh, anyone can change that. Yeah. I was crushed. It is just for like first drafts. Like I understand being like, we're gonna name our kid after like our best friend Mel's, but like at no point were they like, do you think our friend is maybe like not just someone who's really interested in the Doctor? And you know, the other thing is, well, like, my question is the whole thing is like, she's engineered to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Is she engineered to kill him when she regenerates, or is it before?
Yeah.
Because like,
that's the, yeah,
is the implication of her shooting the console meant to be like she was trying to shoot him and missed? Or is it like that was like a happy accident, and then when she changed, she decided to? Like, I feel like there's a bit missing there where like another draft would have probably kind of, you know, tightened that up a bit, because like there's kind of a bit of kind of confusion. Speaking of confusion and regenerating stuff, the bit where Rory says there's a pounding in my head, whatever, that was people's inkling to he's the Master, because they were like, oh, it's the drum beat, that's what he's got in his head, that's what's got a pound in his head, because it's a drum beat, rather than it being like an innocuous thing by him having a headache because he just had to punch Hitler and stuff.
Yeah. He's got amazing trigger discipline, because if I'm in that situation, if I got a gun pointed at Hitler, it's blah blah blah. Ready, fire, aim. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't. It. I think it does kind of suffer from a lot of like Moffat's vices as well, like the kind of Churchill Nixon kind of thing of, you know, we're going to take this serious figure, kind of, you know, kind of not like soften the edges, but like they're very kind of, you know, this is the kids TV show version of Hitler, which is kind of begs the question, why do this episode with Hitler in the first place? Because there's nothing really in this beyond, you know, the idea of, if you're the time machine, what would you do? Well, I go back and I'd kill Hitler, but like they never really kind of do that, because it's like it's like a fake setup for the actual
right. It's like if I named Joy to the World. No, that's not. I don't know how to actually like. I don't know what a metaphor is, but yeah, it is a misdirect. You know, it is a very effective misdirect, because. And I do think the problem is that it's such a good misdirect that the first 10 minutes are the best part of the episode, because they're the best part where you're like, yeah, I get what this episode is about. Let's kill Hitler. There's a like a fucking robot, Meet Dave here, who's going to like also kill Hitler. Great. All right, got it. Let's do the episode. Honestly, if River Song never showed up, this could have been a good episode. You know, there's like a future where this like goes down a very interesting path. And like, it's an actually interesting episode.
Whereas instead, what happens is the robot ends up just being a receptacle for a new kind of little myth arc that they're setting up about a question and all this stuff. It's like, I really think the problem ultimately is that it's an episode made up of setups rather than like actual story. It's designed to be like, you know, we're gonna preload the next thing, and then we get to this kind of twist, we're gonna preload the next twist, but they're gonna be set up for like arcs that are gonna come along, and like you said, like they just cram everything into one day, and like it just feels really disingenuous and really kind of lacking, I guess.
to me, the best example of that is the Sherlock scene, the Sherlock-esque scene where they're like, and I knew you did that, so I did this. And then they show the flashbacks with sped up footage. It's so, the thing that's so telling to me about that sequence is that they're so focused on doing that whole, like, little banter sequence. But at no point they show when she puts on the poison lipstick. Mm-hmm. Like, had she always had it on? Does she regenerate with it? Is it a genetic thing? Like, can you just have, like, a line? Like, just have somebody go, my lipstick, my lips are genetically poisonous. Ha ha ha. Because I've been engineered to kill you, doctor. Ha 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 ha. Like, just do that. Just, they didn't even do that part.
Mm-hmm. It is just annoying how much it's missing, like, just things that would have been kind of laid down a bit easier with future work. That whole scene, it's played to the point of parody. How many kind of fucking, and then I did this, oh, and then I did this kind of stuff with Ron. I mean, I know I said the Tesselecta is really boring. It is boring, but like, it's such an interesting concept that, like, it kind of, it being shunted to a tertiary thing is really kind of detrimental to the entire stuff, because it's like the idea of we are gonna, like, we're saying, like, you know, kind of more or less screw the timeline, whatever, but like we're gonna go back into like these different places and ingratiate ourselves and take these things out, because like you can see like him trying to establish, like, you know, there's a parallel thread between like what River's doing with the Doctor and what the Tesselector's doing with Hitler, and it's like,
right,
we're kind of like we are engineered to like do this, but they never really kind of touch on that in a way that really kind of justifies having this robot be a functioning part of anything, really.
Well, the problem is that, first of all, it would require us to know a little bit more about who these people are, why they're doing them, which I think would require them to have more character, more time in the episode. But I think if this was not Hitler, if this was just a fictional dictator, that the Doctor could be like, well, this is like the evil Glorp, and he killed a bunch of people, and then the Tesselecta is like, yeah, why are you defending him? There's that bit where they say what they're doing, and the Doctor says, I think I know what you think that makes you. Like, he's basically saying, oh, you guys think you're judge, jury, and executioner. Which they think they are. Let's dig into that. That's interesting. That's juicy. That relates to, like, the idea of forgiveness, you know, like, of committing a crime and punishment and whatever song is going to do. It relates to all these things. Like, the connection is there. It's just, like, has not actually been connected.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem, I think, skipping ahead to what's to come. It's a problem I think this entire run has, where even just structurally, there's not, like, until the finale, which the finale could have a structural problem, but it really kind of, the two halves of that episode play well against each other. Up and like the other episodes, the structuring of all these episodes feel so kind of haphazard. Especially, we'll get to closing time in a couple weeks, but closing time is an episode that's made up of, I said to you elsewhere, it's made up of like the 20th minute of the episode is the entire episode. Like every single scene feels like it's the 20th minute into an episode, even like the last scene. This feels like they're constantly kind of, I don't know, it just feels structurally like they kind of ran out of ideas at a certain point, and all they have then is just to have this robot spout exposition at all the characters until, you know, they want to disappear. Which, like, it's not the first time they've done that, and it's not the last time they do that, but like in this, it just does feel like if it's like a placeholder you put in when you're like, I'll come back to this in another draft, and I'll, you know, I'll do something else here. But like for now, I had to put this in here just to move on from this plot point and, like, you know, finish the draft. And see, he didn't get a chance to do that. So there's just a scene of a robot saying, like, the River Song is blah, 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 blah. And the question is blah, 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 blah. And it's like, this is not dynamic. It's not even interesting. Like, it's not even like, I don't know. It just feels so kind of limited in what it should or could be.
It's a first draft. It's a first draft. We're not saying this as like an insult. Like, when you are working on a first draft, that is your first exploration of the idea. There's things you just can't see because you haven't done that first draft yet. And you need to see it, and you need to put it in the paper to be like, oh, you know, maybe if Stephen Moffat had a second draft, he would have been like, oh, you know what? The Tesselecta doesn't work in this story. Let's take him out. Or maybe, oh, Mel's doesn't work in this story. Let's take it out. But he never got that chance. And so most of this is connective tissue. Most of this episode is like just taking us from like what the next beat is. There's so many scenes where it's like, and then the doctor talks until the next thing that has happened happens. Like, there's literally like three scenes like that in this episode, which, again, not his fault. That's just what happens in a first draft.
What doesn't happen the first? Well,
don't you know, I think Stephen Moffat just cursed me because I just dropped coffee all over my Steam Deck. One second.
No,
it's all good.
One thing that doesn't happen in the first draft, happens in every draft, and happens in every episode, is that we get another scene of the doctor being like, don't worry, I'm fine, while he's looking at a scanner that says, like, you're going to die in this time, in this place. Which, it really is, like, we don't need this running gag of, like, he knows he's going to die, and he knows this and that, the other, especially when, and this is creeping in again, for all the kind of caterwauling about, like, you know, he knows he's dying, this is his last kind of thing, the one time we get an episode dedicated to him doing that, how he chooses to spend those last moments is baffling, and it never feels like it's the last moments.
What, David? You don't want to spend your last moments with me, James Gordon.
look at me hump this car dressed as a mouse.
It's me, James, banging your wife. that's from Funhouse.
Yeah, I don't know. I had, like, misremembered the ending of this as being the same hospital as New Earth. Like, in my head, they ended on, like, a shot of, like, that hospital from afar. But they didn't do that. I don't know why I thought that. It would have been fun to have, because I'm sure that like, Photoshop file was still in the computer or something. But yeah, I don't know. I think like this is just it, there's not a lot of meat on the bone, really.
There's not a lot of meat on the bone. I think two things. I think Nick Briggs needs to do a live action remake equivalent of like a Big Finish series where they just take like ideas that have already been done and do them again but different and do this. I would love to see someone take a second crack at this idea. I would love to see the Tesselecta come back. Purely because they sound, I don't know, like just the idea of we invented time travel and we decided that like certain people had to pay. That's so cool. That's it honestly is. Like I want to see the tribunal. Like I want to see the idea of what time travel justice looks like is relatively unexplored. There's that movie. I don't know his name, but I know there's a scene where a guy like melds with another guy, the villain. That's how he dies in a movie. Is it Time Cop? It's not Time Cop. Is it Time Cop?
Is it?
I think it is Time Cop. Yeah, I think I'm thinking of Time Cop. Yeah. Ron Silver and Time
Cop,
yes.
Good movie.
But yeah, like, apart from Time Cop, time travel justice is such an unexplored thing. I want to see that.
Yeah. The closest I can think of is Looper, but Looper is more that they're killing themselves with time travel.
God, Looper is I remember when I saw Looper in theaters and the scene where old Paul Dano is trying to run away. Yeah, that scene scared the shit out of me. It gave me nightmares, which, by the way, great. I love it when movies scare kids. More movies should scare young people. I was not a kid, by the way. I was 15. I was 15, to be clear. I was a young adult. But yeah, I love it when movies scare the shit out of me. Something that did not scare the shit out of me, Let's Go Hitler.
Yeah. I got scared by Arthur Darvill going full Evan Hansen, but I don't know. Oh, there is one thing.
I like the scene where Amy realizes that she loves Rory.
That thing, yeah, I like that. That's good. The bit I really like in that is when Mel throws the model and it transitions to the actual ship flying. I think that's really cool kind of shot.
Yes, that one is great, yeah.
Unfortunately, that visual flair kind of disappears very quickly because it just becomes a lot of medium and wide shots of people talking in the rooms.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. They have a lot of budget. There's a moment where, how do I put this? There's a moment where there's a shot where Amy and Rory are in a motorbike and they stop outside of the hotel. And I'm looking at the background. And I'm like, damn, like, where did they shoot this? Because it looks great. But also, like, it must have been expensive. But also, like, there's so little of it. They're in 1938 Berlin. They did a good job recreating it, but they don't. It's like New York in the Daleks Take Manhattan. Where it's like, we're not going to do more with this? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's it. I don't know.
Unless it's filming locations, Wales.
Of course. Of course it's Cardiff.
And can I read? I just want to, before you wrap up, I just want to read this. Jesus, oh my God. This is a fantastic continuity note in the TARDIS Wiki, our beloved TARDIS Wiki. It says, Melody believes the reason Hitler rose to power was because the Doctor didn't stop him. Unbeknownst to her, the Seventh Doctor was instrumental in Hitler's rise to power. And the source is Time Worm Exodus.
That's that novel is by Terry Dix, and it is kind of insane in terms of
kind of,
yeah, it of the four, it's the second most insane one, but it's in terms of like I don't think it's intentionally meant to be as insane as it is, but it's bonkers. I miss having Terrence Davies. I'll be honest with you. I miss
Davies?
Having
Davies. You mean Terrence Dix? Davis.
Dix. Yeah. Sorry. Oh. I'm. Well. I'm. I'm Wonka. That's not a phrase.
Why do you miss Terrence Dix?
I miss Terrence Dix. I miss having a Terrence Dix figure where like. And I like this guy who's like an absolute workhorse. Who's like, yeah, I'll write all those novelizations for you. Don't worry, and I'll do all these original things for you. Don't worry. Purely for the love of the game, rather than being like, you know, I want money.
I mean, there is someone. Is this the first episode we're recording after Gallifrey 1? Yeah. So I just went to Gallifrey 1 2025, and there is someone I saw there that does strike me as that person. That's Paul Maggs. Guy looks like he's doing it for the love of the game. He absolutely is doing it for the love of the game, you know.
I want to say as well, just for a thing, I do also miss Terrence Davies. You know, Benediction, great movie. But yeah, I don't know. What the hell? Let's kill this feed. Bye.
Next time on Pod Tour Who Cast.
Please save me from the monsters.
Tell me about George.
I mean, he's scared to death of everything.
George, you have to face your fears. You have to face them now.
We're dead again.
You see these eyes? They're old eyes. And one thing I can tell you.
Monsters are real.